If I said the word beatitude, what would come to your mind? You'd probably think of the beatitudes that were listed in the book of Matthew and also repeated in Luke. And specifically, we would look at Matthew 5, 1 through 11. Each of the beatitudes you start with, blessed is. And probably many of you, if not all of you, could probably recite what that is. For example, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, Matthew 5, 6, 8. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, recognized that we would all have trials, and it would be a struggle with some of these trials. Some of these trials would be greater than other trials. Some of these trials would be trials of fire, as is described in the Word of God. And some trials would be, well, that's annoying. It's just kind of nagging, but persistent. I think we all know what we're talking about. Through these Beatitudes, it's recorded what Christ said to encourage us and his followers to live up to those high standards and the blessing of living to those high standards as we go through those trials. By striving to live those standards, his followers and his disciples, which we all are, would be richly rewarded. Well, don't mistake rewarded in physical, but spiritual, in terms of a world to come. About 60 years later, give or take, after the Beatitudes were talked about and preached about by Jesus and later on recorded by the writers of the New Testament, there is another set of Beatitudes. And it may surprise you, or may not, that these Beatitudes are in the book of Revelation. You're thinking, book of Revelation? Isn't that about doom and gloom? Well, there's some sad parts of Revelation, and the sad isn't because of what God is going to do. The sad is what mankind allowed the God of this age to allow what man to become, anti-God and against God. And as we know from the Word of God, there are consequences for not living according to God's laws, and that is death. And as the time of the end gets closer and closer, we're going to see sin be more prevalent. And unfortunately, society, and maybe some in God's church, I don't know, will be more, I wouldn't say the word accepting, but numb to it. And, oh, it's just the way the world is. And that's, you know, part of deception is accepting something that's wrong. And I'm not saying that we're going to do that, but it's just the trends of this age. So the Beatitudes in the book of Revelation encourage us to stick with it through these tough times that it's shortly about to happen. In this message, we are going to review each of these Beatitudes and how they encourage us to hold on, to hold fast, to endure to these struggles and help us through these tough times and the rewards of enduring. The title of this message is The Seven Blessings and Beatitudes of Revelation. So before we jump into it, let's do some housekeeping here. The first thing I'd like to do is define beatitude. I'm just going to boil it down. In the cooking world, you call it a reduction sauce. You just boil it all the way down to the very core of what's the essence of it. So the word beatitude is from the Latin word beatus, like beat us. I mean, that's exactly how it's spelled. And the meaning behind it is happy and blessed. The beatitude, blessing. And this is cited from title, Beatitude, from wordvocabulary.com, dictionary, Beatitude. In this message, we'll be using the word Beatitude and Blessing as synonyms. So let's get into it. Let's look at the first Beatitude. Please turn with me to Revelation 1, and we're going to be reading verse 3. Revelation 1, verse 3. I'm using a Bible I don't normally use, but it has bigger text so I can see it a little bit better. It happens. You young folks, you'll get there one day, if you're lucky. So starting with the first beatitude, Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep it. Let's back up. Blessed are those who reads those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let's see, let's flip it this way. There's the rest of my notes. It's better for all for everybody. So the first beatitude is hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping them. So we're going to explore what is meant by hearing and keeping. So let's turn to Luke 11, and we're going to read verses 27 through 28. Luke 11, 27 through 28. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, and we're breaking into the context here. This kind of context is, he's kind of going through some of the parables and the blessings and stuff like that. And so this is where this woman is responding to what Jesus had just said. And she said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. Verse 28, but he said, more than blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I think that's where I wanted to read through. Let me find myself in my notes. Apologize for that. Got lost in my notes. Like I said, I ran out of printer paper, and it's really small text. Okay, so we went to verse 28. So what is the word of God? As we know, it is the inspired word God has given us. It's this very book here, this very book, the very word of God. He'd written his words through his prophets and the writers and through the apostles and some others that inspired this book. And I truly believe, we all truly believe, I suspect, that this is the inspired word of God. When we say word, what do we also think of? We think of the book, obviously, but there's something that should come to mind, which we probably are, you're probably ahead of me. Let's turn to John 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 2. John 1, the other way. So starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So we all know the Word of God is Jesus Christ, our Savior. What was the one, there are many important things, I'm not trying to minimize that, but what was the one important thing that he did in terms of law? And what would he do? Turn with me to Matthew 5, and we're going to read verses 17 through 19. Matthew 5, 17 through 19. Matthew 5, starting in verse 17. Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And there's always a lot of confusion with this word fulfill. But in this context, doing a word study on it, we will clearly see that is to make full, to expand upon. So to put a spiritual element to the physical element of the law. For I certainly, For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. In other words, when there is no need for the law. When there's no need for the law, there will not be a law. But that's a future way. There's a lot of time before then. So what did the word do? The word magnified the law, showing us that we are to internalize the law. And it's not in words of internalize like, oh, I just love God. I mean, yeah, of course we all love God. But it's to say, okay, God gave me these set of commandments or these rules to go by. I can do them physically, but what good is it doing physically? It has to change the heart. It goes deeper than that. It changes your whole being, where inside you say, okay, this, whatever the circumstance is not acceptable, and I can't condone it. It changes your whole thought process to look at the world differently. And may I suggest, it shows us the mind of God and how we are to think like Him and how we are to act like Him. Not only the physical actions, but deep in the heart and the mind. It shows that physical observance is not enough. It illustrates we have changed after repentance, baptism, and receiving His gift, the Spirit of God indwelling with us. So let's summarize the first beatitude of Revelation. We are not only to hear and read the words of the prophecy, we are to act and change. Let it affect us. Let us make us into a new person through the blessing of His Holy Spirit, and which guides us. And basically the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God saying, you know, peace indwelling within us, and which you make possible through the salvation possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so it changes us. If we're letting His Holy Spirit commune with us, it has to change us. Otherwise, it goes dormant. What happens when it goes dormant? We fall away. Or we just get into a routine where we just do the same thing over and over and over. But at the end of the day, that's just not enough, according to God's Word. So we live according to His Word as expounded upon and expanded on by Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Characteristics of this first beatitude: listening, reading His Word, obedience. Not just the physical part, but the internal part, the spiritual part, not wanting to displease God. Another attribute is conviction to God. We become convicted. We want to just please our Master in any way possible. We demonstrate the receipt of the love of God by being confident that God is in charge. It doesn't matter what man can do. They can kill you, but who can bring you back to life? Man can't. Not fearing the end of this age, another attribute. Knowing that a better age is to come and is about to be established on this earth. So let's move on to the second beatitude. Let's turn to Revelation 14, and we're going to read verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. Starting in verse 13 of Revelation 14. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So from that little short passage, what is the second beatitude? Basically, the second beatitude is staying faithful to the end. This beatitude has two attributes. Obviously, the first one is staying faithful and striving to live God's way, not our way, but God's way until that end. That end may be 20 years from now. That end may be tomorrow. We just don't know. We've heard a lot of, you know, prayer requests, and we've heard a lot of death lately. You know, that's a cycle of life, but we just don't know when our end is going to be. And but we've got to stay faithful. That is the beatitude. It's a blessing. Blessed are those who stay faithful to the end, no matter what man throw at you, no matter what Satan inspires or influences people to throw at you. We stay faithful. Is it easy? Oh, no. We've got so many negative influences around this world just poking and prodding and putting doubt in your mind. You can't even watch the news. I mean, I think it's always been this way, but I think it's more become more politicized. And I think Satan has put politics into news, you know, we're to watch. And how can you watch if you're being negative, you blah, 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 getting poked and stuff like that? And it's just a division tactic. And we know that Satan divides. He took a third of the angels. It wasn't by saying, hey, you know, I have a better idea. Come with me. It was putting doubt in there. It was putting division in there. And he was able to influence a third of the angels, the very created beings of God that probably saw God, probably saw God. So I'll refer to Ecclesiastes 4:1-2, where in Ecclesiastes 4:1-2, I'll just skim over it. You don't have to turn there. Then I return and consider all the oppression that is done under the sun, and look, the oppressed, the tears of the oppressed. They have no comforter. On one side and on their side, their oppression and their power. There is power, but they have no comfort. Therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living that is still alive. What is the point here? Is once you finish your journey and you're faithful to the end, there is no more temptation. There is no more struggle. Your race is done. Hopefully, the next moment is at the second coming of Christ that you're awake. In the second part of this attribute, we have the hope of the resurrection. When we are staying true to God to the end, we have the hope of that resurrection into his family, into becoming the very beings of God, to be his children, joined with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. The people of God may be forgotten by this world, perhaps not by family, but, you know, we all will be forgotten. Give it a few hundred years. Give it a generation. Give it, you know, some of us, you know, a week. I don't know. You just never know. But if you've been enduring to the end, when the end comes and then resurrection comes, God will remember who are faithful to him. Let's skip to, we'll go to the third beatitude. Turn with me to Revelation 16, verse 15. And I can find it really easy because it's just right across the right page for me. So reading, starting in verse 15 of 16, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. What is this beatitude telling an attribute of a person of God? They're to watch. What are we to watch? Let's turn to Luke 13 and we will read, we'll just we'll start in verse 33. Luke 12, and we'll read verses 39, I'm sorry. So basically, we know the parable, Matthew 24, and this is a parallel account of it, where it says that you never know when the wedding, the bridegroom is going to arrive, and we are to be watching the first, second, third shift. And it also goes into a parable about a thief coming in the night to rob the house, and this is talking about this. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, also be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't know. So basically, we don't know when Christ is going to come. But we are to live our life as he's going to come tomorrow. We can't say, oh, I know I have this weakness here, let me just work on it later. According to God's word, that's just not acceptable. We have to live our lives. We have to look internally as if the master is coming this very next hour. And we know we're in prophecy that in times that's probably not going to be the next hour, but we need to make sure that we're living at that he's going to come to the next hour, because it just might be for us. And what do we watch? Of course, we watch world events. We watch the news. And, you know, it's very important to see what's going on in the world. It's extremely important. Because we don't know the sign of the times if we don't watch the news. And some of the stuff that's going on is very subtle. And if you're not critical to what's going on, you might be blindsided. I mean, for example, look at COVID. Who would have thought when COVID first came out that a month later, maybe two or three months later, that the world would be shut down? And some places, not around here, thankfully, but where we used to live in Colorado, if you didn't have a piece of paper in your car that said you were an essential employee and you had to be at work, you got stopped and fined. And for multiple offenses, you probably went to jail. Who would have thought that in the heartland of the United States that was possible? But it was possible. Did we see it coming? No. But I think there was kind of undercurrents going on. It was kind of being let out a little time. I'm not a big conspiracy person, by no means, but there is a bigger conspiracy out there. Satan wants to rob you of your salvation. That's the big conspiracy. So we are to watch the news and the world around us. But what's more importantly to watch? Kind of alluded to it already. We are to watch ourselves. We are to watch and to analyze. Every Passover is a reminder of this, to self-examine. Are we on par with God, what he expects? If not, we better be repenting of it, and we better be taking steps to be where we need to be. Will we get there in this lifetime? We don't know. We just don't know. Some of these struggles are a lifetime. Paul talks about a race of endurance. What is a race of endurance? I was on a team where we were relay racers, and I remember the 880. You would go around that track four times before you relay to somebody else. Man, that was hard. I can't even imagine what these cross-country runners do. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about, okay, you can start out strong and you're gung-ho, but you get into mile 10, you get into mile 26, you get into 100 miles later, it's going to be hard. It's going to take all your strength just to keep going at a slow pace. That's what this journey is about, is it's a hard journey. I mean, easy is the way. We know, you know, that Christ says his way is easy and not burdensome. And it's not burdensome if we have the right attitude. If we strive to live according to his way, it's easy to do. The world just makes it tough. And sometimes we make it tough for ourselves. So the second attribute is we are to watch the news, and the second attribute is we are to watch ourselves. So let's talk about the fourth blessing of Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation 19:9. Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, write, blessed, beatitude, beatus, are those who are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. The fourth beatitude is being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What does that mean? It's not a right. We have to be invited. The marriage of the Lamb, basically Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the beginning of the earth, the foundation of the earth, to the church is the coming together of Christ to the church. Church, Mary, Christ marries the woman, the church. And this is represented during his second coming. in granting the saints, that's you and me, don't think of saints as in Catholic, that's total falseness. Saints are people that follow God, that choose to live his way into his kingdom. Entrance into the kingdom requires, A, our obedience to him in keeping the physical intent of the law. Keep in mind, be very clear, keeping the commandments is not grace. It is not grace at all. We can't do anything physically to earn, we can't earn grace, period, but there's nothing we can do in our physical life. Even if we lived a perfect life, I'm sure as a child, we sin somewhere. It's just not possible. It takes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ with his blood covering our sins to get entrance. However, by not keeping the law, not just only the physical, but the intent of the law, can disqualify a person from entrance into his kingdom. It requires faithfulness, endurance, even unto death, as we just spoke about. There is no greater blessing than being a part of the Father's family. I can't think of any. Sure, there's maybe short-term physical rewards and stuff like that, that this we may get from this life, but they're hollow. There's nothing to them at the end of the day. Let's look at the fifth beatitude. We're going to turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. 26, Revelation. Blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's a whole sermon in itself. We are not going to go that deep into it. We just don't have the time. But the fourth beatitude, or the fifth beatitude, let me just shift gears here, is being a part of that first resurrection. As we know, if you have a first resurrection, you've got to have a second resurrection. The first resurrection is a spiritual resurrection, as defined in Scripture. It is the resurrection of the just, the elect, the faithful of God, both living and dead, at the second coming of Jesus Christ at the last trump. You and I, will be priests of God and of Christ, and we will reign with him during the 1,000-year period. What's after that? We have hints to it, but we don't exactly know. The second death will have no power of those in the first resurrection, because they are spiritual beings as children of God in the God family. We'll take a look at the sixth blessing of Revelation, or the beatitude, Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. We already kind of spoke about this a little bit with Revelation 1:3, but it must be very important to repeat it again and again. When you see something repeated in the Bible, well, if you see anything in the Bible, obviously it's important, but when you see it repeated multiple times, and that's just within the book of Revelation, it's repeated all through the Gospels, and it's actually even repeated in some of the books of the Old Testament. You just have to read between the lines and get the gist. It's there. It wasn't until Christ came and the giving of the Holy Spirit that the Old Testament was opened up for our understanding. By keeping, that is, internalizing the words of the prophecy, the words of the book and of the prophecies, kind of the intent behind it, it motivates us to do good works and to strive for righteous character. If we are living righteously and surrender our life to Jesus Christ, in other words, our life doesn't matter to us, we do his will, not our will, God's will, and we endure till the end, nothing can stand in the way of us being part of that kingdom and being part of the first resurrection. And we truly, and those in the first resurrection, you and me, hopefully, brethren, will truly be blessed. There is no other greater blessing than becoming part of the family of God. Now into the seventh beatitude. Don't have to go too far. We're just going to go to verse 14, Revelation 7, or 22, 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. If the commandments have been done away with, why does in the very last book of the Bible does it say, blessed are those who do his commandments? Indicating you're cursed if you don't. Of course, his commandments aren't salvation, but it is expected to live by his rules, to show that you can become God and you can live as much as possible in this humanly body. We will fall down, we will trip, but we get back up and we get back on the trail. That they may have the right. Notice that word right. It's not very often in the Bible you have the word right. God the Father through Jesus Christ, through John, is saying, if you keep my commandments as I intended you to, and you have the Holy Spirit, and you strive until the end, and not that we're going to be perfect, but we're going to endure till the end and strive to become like God, we'll have the right to the tree of life. That's a strong word. And may enter through the gates into the city. A couple comments here. It refers back to Genesis. What happened in Genesis? God was with Adam and Eve. They had a choice. They had the tree of life. They had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If they would have chose the tree of life, they would have had eternal life at that point. Instead, rather, they chose the tree of knowledge and good and evil, which ultimately led to death. And every one of their offspring has died. Even if you froze yourself in cybernetics or whatever, if you thaw that person, they're still dead. They're just frozen dead. Kind of like the frozen chicken in our freezer. You're dead. And, you know, when a person dies, their spirit goes are stored back to God. And God chooses when that person comes back, whether it be the first resurrection or the physical resurrection. You know, that's God's choice. But this word right, let's take a brief look into this word right. It's from Strong's G1849, and it's that's G1849 if you want to look it up, and it's pronounced exuasia. And just boiling it down, it's the privilege. It's a privilege that is force, capacity, competency, freedom, or mastery. Concretely, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, taken control, delegated, influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. So it's a privilege because of mastering what as much as we could possibly master in the physical life. And given authority. You know, we're told that we will be priests and kings in the kingdom. By keeping his commandments, that shows that we're committed to God and we're willing to give all of our physical up. And by doing so, Christ says we will have the right. I've read that many times over, and that's just mind-boggling to me. I just can't even think of it. This right comes from patience, living by God's commands in all aspects of life. This is only obtainable by God's grace, of course, and by doing our part in keeping his commandments, his spiritual on that. Just not the physical, but the spiritual. Unlike Adam, we will have the right to walk into New Jerusalem, where Adam doesn't have that right. I mean, will he have a second chance? I don't know. He knew. I suspect he knew God's law. I just don't know. God is planting something in us that will endure for all eternity. What an incredible blessing. So let's summarize the Beatitudes. First one was hear the words of the prophecy and keep them. Second was staying faithful to the end. Third is watching and keeping our garments. Fourth being invited into the marriage supper of the Lamb. The fifth is being part of the first resurrection. 6 is keeping the words of the prophecy of the book, and 7 is keeping God's commands. Notice the theme here. It is action. It's not, oh, I accept Jesus Christ and I'm going to be in the kingdom. We have to do something. We have to prove ourselves. So in conclusion, Revelation reveals what must occur to displace Satan and his belief system. Shortly, things will get extremely tough for the world and many of us as Satan intensifies his assault on mankind. And don't get it, and make no mistake, he hates mankind. Even those that subscribe to worship him, they just hate him. He just hates me. And Christ encourages us to hold fast, to stay faithful, even until death. Jesus encourages us to stay faithful. The message of the blessing of the Beatitudes is to his faithful saints. That is you and I. It is Jesus' words of impersonal encouragement to each and every one of us.